Hi, Brad.
Hey Ryan, how are you?
Perfect. How are you?
I am.
You are, and you always are.
We are.
We are, and we always are.
Yes.
Hey, Integration of the Minds, part 37, 38, and 39. Some bold moves, bold statements being made. You're going out there on a limb, I think.
Whoops, I should read. Let's see, that'd be 39 you're going to interview me on today?
Oh, well, we can talk about all of them. See, we can only go so far with part 39 because you don't finish your story. You introduce conflict as a reason for problems in people's lives, whether that be emotional issues or sickness and disease that causes death. You introduce conflict as a great cause of that, and you.
I reveal the end of the story, which is so simple,
No, 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 no,
on
no,
this interview.
no, 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 no. I want that in writing so I can go back and refer to it in case I need to.
Oh, to hold me to it, huh?
Oh yeah, I'm holding you to it, buddy. You gotta finish the story. We only got half a story. This poor guy has got some conflict and he's not showing up to work. He's getting sick all the time, and the solution is simple, but we don't know what it is. So let's just leave that for part 40.
You know what it, I've given the solution in all three parts. What are you talking about? The solution isn't the issue. What's bothering you is you don't know what the problem was.
I don't.
Because I didn't finish the story, quote unquote.
You didn't. So let's leave it.
And
I'm
I'm
sure you
saying
will.
that the story is irrelevant, but that's okay.
Okay. Well, maybe
You're the publisher.
we can talk about believe or don't believe. And we can talk about the story that you told with the little girl. The young girl who didn't believe in God whatsoever. And they were looking to you to be that man of faith. And they didn't want to have anything to do with that. I thought that was extremely interesting that it doesn't matter. I could, according to yours, I could be an atheist and I'd still get healed if I was willing to walk through the process of whatever spirit instructed you to do, right? It would
Yeah, I
seem.
don't. Now, yeah, you have to remember, I get my instructions from Jesus. And, people will think that's kind of a high-minded statement, or will just think that's religious nonsense or whatever. But the example I would have to give is, when did you ever see him say, "Well, do you believe in God?"
Well,
And no, well, and until you become a member of my church, which I came to Earth to start, I can't heal you. You never saw anything like that, Ryan.
don't remember reading anything like that in the stories of his times. That's pretty good,
No.
though. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
Although, wait a
no.
second, doesn't it say that in, aren't there some parts in the Old Testament where the healing and blessings would only come to the children of Israel or something like that?
But that's, what's that got to do with me?
I don't know. So I'm just saying that maybe a lot of people think that way because of those types of tales.
Well, if I'm going to use the Bible as my reference rather than what the Bible says about whose voice we should listen to,
Okay.
then I'll listen to interpreters and teachers and people who make all kinds of commentaries and whatever and say, "Ah, gee, I wonder if they're right." But what the Spirit says is, today, if you'll hear his voice. Now, what's interesting about that particular passage, and it occurs three times in the book of Hebrews, which is a New Testament book, but and the Spirit, or in most English translations, says the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, you know, today, if you will hear His voice. Who's His? What? Who's the writer talking about? And I say writer because the writer is obviously hearing these words and transcribing them. And he said that, and the way it is, the way it comes in the Greek is Jesus the Christ. If you will hear His voice. And this never dawned on me for all the years I was a Christian. It's hearing the voice of Jesus today. Not yesterday. Not if you will read the words in red, they will renew your mind.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit says today, and if you will hear His voice, and not harden your hearts as it was in the time of the rebellion. Of course, what the writer's referring to there is the time out in they were escaping from Egypt, and they got out in the middle of the wilderness, and they started grumbling and griping and all that. That was the rebellion. And what I say, my interpretation that I got from Jesus was that the rebellion is the organized church that calls him, refers to him as the leader, and doesn't listen to anything he says today.
Today, this day, regardless of whether they listen to the stuff that he said 2,000 years ago, right?
Right.
Or right.
Even 2,000 years ago when whoever wrote that. You know, there are those in the evangelical place who said, the Apostle Paul said. Well, enough scholars have said they don't believe that the Apostle Paul wrote that, but we're not going to get into Bible commentary here because it's irrelevant. And why is it irrelevant? It's irrelevant because if you believe what the Bible says, and I'm either urging you to believe it or not, but if you do, then you might want to pay attention to this passage and ask the Spirit, okay, if this is for today, is this for me? Is this what this is saying? Or am I supposed to go quickly to the Bible study tonight and hear what Pastor Jesuits has to say?
Good old Pastor Jesuits.
Yeah. So.
No, I agree.
Don't listen to Brad. Why listen to Brad? Why listen to this, you know, anyway.
It's either true or it's not true. It's either true or it's not true. And either you ask or you don't ask. And whether you want to take that passage from the book, from the Bible, or you can take that passage off of right now, right here. It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
It's not relevant as to the source. It's either true or it's not true for each individual who asks the question.
Woo, you said it. I like that. That's not bad.
Yeah.
I think, can I join your church, Mr. Publisher?
I don't have a church, by the way.
Hallelujah, brother.
Oh my gosh. You're not going to start that, are you? That pulpit speak. You know, I'll have to hang up on you if you start that.
Wow. You know, I just and you're invited, by the way, but I've been invited to come to a group in Toronto, and it's been an amazing process, and in fact, the fellow who invited me has extended that invitation to you, and I'm going, I think it's any time after the 20th is when it's extended, but delightful group of people. But the point I'm making here is I scared one of their members by telling the story that I've told on the website before, and I've told it to you. It's a true story about the group of of six psychiatric patients and their spouses. So there were 12 of them and one of me. We were 13, and we're in a circle. And because I was desperate, because there was so much confusion and disruption going on with the crazies popping off continually. One lady who said, "I have beautiful feet," every few minutes. And, you know, talk about disconcerting. And anyway, I suggested that one of the members of their group, because she has a background in a mental health hospital. In fact, she's retiring from a mental health hospital in, I think it's a state hospital, on August the 5th. And I suggested that she might want to consider that as a vocation of being ministering to groups of small groups of people. They don't have to be crazy. But the point of that story, as you recall, was it was an imaginary Jesus. Each person could only speak the rules that I was given while there in a group. Was that the rule was that they had to any questions had to be directed toward Jesus, who was there in the middle of our group, right in front of us. And there was a profound change in all of us. All the marriages, all six marriages, the six couples were in trouble, and for obvious reasons. I mean, one of the couple was, you know, acting out in a variety of ways. Two of them had been diagnosed as being psychotic, and they were out of touch. Not that the lady with beautiful feet had ugly feet. That's not where she was out of touch. But anyway, all of them, the marriages, within 6 weeks, the marriages were phenomenally whole. All the patients were no longer seeing the doctor, and his quip was always from that time on that I was going to put him out of business. Anyway, I was told by email, excuse me, when I had relayed the story, as I recalled it fresh, and I felt I was supposed to, and I sent it to the fellow that invited me, and he read it to her, and she said, tell Brad, he is scaring me. And I submit to all of us, the whole thing scared me, but it changed my life dramatically, because from that day forward, I understood Jesus really is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's his ministry through anybody who wants to minister, watch him minister, that still heals today, does everything today that he did 2,000 years ago. And he's very much alive this moment. So I hope you are scared. Get involved. Say, wait a minute, are you real?
Yeah.
So anyway, how about that? I'm sorry to go through all that, but
that's all right. It's good. It's a valuable story, and it's funny that you would say at the end that, are you real? Because I remember my arrival at the realization that he's real, and I asked those words, or I made that statement. If you're real, I'm right here, right now, and I want to hear from you. I wasn't disappointed.
No.
And, yeah.
And that, of course, segues into another story, which I won't tell in any length, other than it was a businessman who yelled at the top of his lungs. He had said, I'm not going to go into this story, but he did yell, Jesus, if you were real, you know, I need help.
Yeah.
He got it. He was healed of a very, very serious health condition, and his marriage was on the rocks and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, I'm sorry. Did we talk enough about number 39?
Well, I think we have. Yeah, I think it's long enough, and we need to close the session off so that we can get on to session 40, which is going to be the finish of the story. The story, I love that story.
Are
I want
you nagging me, Mr. Publisher?
Yes, I am.
You're going to be disappointed with the finish of that story because it's immaterial.
Oh, I don't think I'll be disappointed. I'll be really happy.
Oh, okay. Well, anything to make you happy. After all, as I am wont to say, you're the publisher.
Okay, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Have a great afternoon, evening, whatever it is, where you are right now. And I look forward to the next articles.
Hello, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to have a blast off. Love you, bud.
Okay, bye.